Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. Our goal is to equip pastors and church leaders with resources related to artificial intelligence, helpful for sermon prep, creative ministries, outreach, and more. We do this by providing exclusive insights from AI experts, church leaders, and innovators actively leveraging AI to amplify the gospel and reach more people for Jesus Christ.
Hello, everyone. My name is David Thorne, and I oversee our AI for Churches podcast. And here with me today is Petra. And for those of you who are just listening for the first time, welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. We help churches learn how to get started using AI. And I want to introduce today my guest. Petra works for Crossroads Church in Cincinnati. And I was actually just at a conference, the Church IT Network Conference, which was at Cincinnati and met at Crossroads Church. And I was able to meet Petra and then listen to a session that she did about how their church is using AI. So welcome, Petra.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so glad you can jump on today.
No problem.
And now Crossroads Church is at the forefront of a lot of various things, does a lot of things. But I was really interested in just in your session, you were talking about the use of AI.
Yes.
And so I would actually just love, and I think it'd be helpful for people to learn more about your church's use of AI. But before I do that, if anyone, you know, if I just say the word Crossroads Church, they have no context of, you know, just who you guys are. Mm-hmm. And you're a larger church. And could you, I guess, introduce us to just your church overall? Because I feel like for some random person listening, they may have, maybe have no context of who you guys are and what you do.
Okay, well, Crossroads, it's like technically Crossroads Community Church, is based out of Cincinnati. And I think, goodness, it's been around for at least 20 years at this point. It was founded by a group of friends who... they said they wanted a church for people who had given up on the church, but not on God. So they really wanted to create a relatable experience for locals. So that is how Crossroads was founded. At this point in time, Crossroads now has expanded to at least 10 locations. It kind of fluxes. There are 10 locations and it's regional. It's in the tri-state area. That's Cincinnati, Kentucky, Indiana, Midwest area. And then we also have Crossroads Online Church. So that gives you an idea of our reach. I would say we would say our numbers are about, I think it's 60,000 people involved in this church. So that can help people understand the scope probably of the church and what we're working with.
And explain what you do for the church.
So I've done several things working at Crossroads. I've been working at Crossroads for 4 years. So, and they're really great about, it's a very inventive place. So you can like have one position and move to another position and you can really grow there. So right now I am the AI and digital products leader in our digital ministry solutions department, which is also underneath the envelope of what we would call the marketing studio, which is our in-house marketing department for the organization.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've met multiple Crossroads staff, and they explain their role in a very similar way where, you know, it's one of those things, it's, you know, they mention about 10 different things. Like, oh, well, I oversee this and this and this in this area, which is in this specific, you know, it was quite an explanation of the various things that a staff member does.
That's correct. We have a job description, but everything is our job, is our motto. Everything is our job. We run hard and you just pick up the slack. So at any given moment, I might be doing my job, but it's a ministry. So it could be that we're out on the land and we're working on our revival, or we're over here filming a video. You just have to be able to be flexible and at the end of the day, get your projects done. But we're doing many things at many times.
Now, a church, you know, with a larger church like yours, it's one of those things where at some point you guys had to make the choice. Are we going to lean into the use of AI or not?
Mm-hmm.
Could you share a little bit about that journey and how that, if you know of Mm-hmm. How that journey began. How did you guys come to say, let's use this or try to use this? Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So for me, this started about 2 years ago. Now, I can't speak for like my board or my bosses and where their minds were. But for me, I started playing around online and really exploring these concepts of what AI is when I started to hear more about it. And at that point, I was producing, which means like I was the experienced producer. So in a weekend, I was on our East Campus and I was putting on, I don't want to say the show, but I was putting on a weekend service for church. So that would mean that I'm in charge of like audio production, the speakers, sound, that kind of thing. So I was doing that experience. And I was like, well, this isn't really my strength. I've been in this job for like 6 months. And before that, I was social media director. And they asked me to try out this new role. And I was like, you know, this isn't really my strength. But like one thing that I'm obsessing with at home right now is like AI. Like this is so cool to me. This is like cutting. This could cut so much time off of all these little things I have to do as a producer. And like, how can we utilize it? So it started with me walking around to my superiors and my mentors and being like, what are we doing with AI? What are we going to do about AI? And I don't know if they necessarily had an answer. It just wasn't like at that point an everyday topic. It was more like people maybe had even heard about like ChatGPT. So I pitched a role. I said, let me explore it. Let me research it. I went to MIT and got a certificate in machine learning and AI just so I could understand the ins and outs myself. And then we started along this journey about 2 years ago where I just began to listen to different departments and try to understand like where we could integrate AI. So it didn't happen overnight. It was a matter of understanding like where each department maybe has a bottleneck or where they can utilize some help. And if this was even the right technology. So that's where we started.
So with as big of a staff that you guys have, I would be curious about, say, in the last year, how are you navigating some people who are more inclined and open and people who are less inclined and scared? And just, I guess first question is I'm assuming there's people all across the map in those regards, but maybe that's not the case. But if you do experience that, how are you handling various people on different places, you know, with their comfort related to AI?
Sure. On the road to AI adoption, you do have to deal with, at least 2 years ago, it was like AI is evil. That is where it started. Like it wasn't even AI is going to take my job, and it evolved into AI is going to take my job. But the first reaction, especially within the church, was like AI is evil, so I don't even want to touch it. You're dealing with that first. And honestly, with my experience as social media director, it was a lot of the same. It's just a new technology now. So I think speaking to people's fears and being patient and actually learning what you're working with and introducing people to it, like it's not magic, I think really helps people. So I think your first road or your first stop on this AI adoption journey is sitting with people and having to have a lot of conversations and listening to fears, because you have to soothe people's fears before you can do any work. So that's where we started.
Did you guys, like very practically speaking, did you do anything related to like all staff trainings, or did you go department by department? Or, and I guess that's one of those journeys. It's probably you begin somewhere, but you just keep going, you know, it's constantly work on it. Mm-hmm. But practically speaking, was there anything you guys have done along the way to help with adoption?
You can say help. You can say introduce. I think the very first thing that we did, we have partners or friends. Part of the church IT network's benefit is that it kind of helps you talk to other churches. And we do have a relationship with people at Life Church. Our enterprise architect that works at Crossroads now formerly worked at Life Church. So those connections helped me reach out and say, hey, where did you guys start? And they recommended that the very first thing we do was issue like a policy for like the use of AI. Otherwise, you're going to have people all over your staff using this random tool and that random tool, and that can be a security risk on your computers. So where we started, the first thing was we came out with like an official policy and a, like when to use this tool and when not to use this tool. And we just released that out to our staff, very first thing, just to standardize. And then second, we had a couple talks in our all staff, and it had mixed reviews because they're not necessarily coming from like our department. It could be like a pastor's friend or something like that that's going to come and talk about it and have their opinions on AI. So we've had some all staff. And at this point, now that we have done all of our research on our digital ministry team, we are going department by department based on how imperative they are to have the organization runs. So we're kind of deploying it on a like department by department basis. And it's flowing out of what we would call our marketing studio. Mm-hmm. Since a lot of our research, our data and insights team, that all sits in that marketing studio. And they're kind of the heart of how everyone else gets their information. So we're really starting from there and working our way out.
Yeah, I love that. So it sounds like you begin with a policy. You've done some just kind of all staff related stuff. As you begin learning yourself and coming up with plans and ideas, and then are kind of moving now into a department by department, asking, identifying needs, coming up with ideas, that kind of stuff. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Another practical question I have is, how are you scaling the use of AI across all of your staff? Meaning, do you guys subscribe to like one platform that you give access to all church staff? Is it you allow each department to make their own choice? Or do you just give everyone a budget, and if they decide to use some, deploy some kind of paid service, then they're allowed to do that?
That's a great question. That was part of what some of our policy addressed. So what's different now is that there are 1,000 AI products on the market. And at the beginning, everyone was more like, should we use ChatGPT or not, right? So in one sense, for the very simple tasks that are more self-explanatory on ChatGPT, and we can get into that later, we have like an enterprise account. So depending on what department you are, you can either, like we've empowered people, please purchase the enterprise version so your stuff remains private to us. So you can use ChatGPT on your own, or some of our departments, we have like a department-wide one, and this is a matter of logging in with your like email, and then we all use it together. But then on a broader scale, we utilize a company called Verve. It's verve.ai. And that relationship started because the CEO is close friends with our head pastor. And he was like, hey, I really want you to try our tool. And we were really impressed with it. And so now at this point in time, a couple years later, we utilize them. It's more of an enterprise style subscription, and they're more hands-on because there are so many capabilities within that tool that we can use it to integrate on a wider scale.
Okay.
So we subscribe.
Yeah, it's one of those questions that when I talk with churches, the number one question when it comes to the use of AI in a church that churches don't know they need to ask is, how will we plan to scale it? If we assume everyone wants to use it and everyone's open to use it, or we're going to allow people to use it or encourage it, how will we effectively scale it across our staff?
Yeah,
because that's one of those things where everyone has their own paid subscription. You could very quickly have a very expensive bill that all of a sudden you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars in AI subscriptions.
Yeah.
And if there's not like a plan. And so I love that you guys are thinking through that.
Yeah. And I would ask, like, for people, if they don't know where to start, it's kind of like, what's your biggest need? And I think that depends on the size of your church and what your budget is, right? So if you have a bigger budget, maybe you can do a whole business account. That's going to be cheaper for you. But if you're a smaller church, I think it is, who needs this the most, right? Like, what does everything hinge on? What department, like, does it need to impact the most? Where we could try to automate some things so that it frees up our time for us to talk to our people and be doing ministry. And I'm not like bogged down in emails, right? So I think for each, considering the size of your church really helps answer that question. What's the size of your church and what's the biggest need, you know, of your staff in general? And that can help you decide like, okay, well, what tool do I need? There's 1,000 tools.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into how you guys are using it specifically.
Sure.
So you shared one way that related to personas and the conference.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll just leave it open-ended. And if you want to go there and just talk about what you shared in the conference, you can go that direction. But just as a general question, breaking into the nitty-gritty of how you guys are using it practically as a church.
Sure. I think some of that understanding can come from understanding the size of the church and like understanding some of the things that we did. So for instance, I came in to Crossroads as the online production manager. This was in like 2020. And at that time, because most of us weren't coming inside of a building, we were creating and producing like Netflix style shows, right? So topical shows, a menu of things, and we had this full production. And then after that, you know, I reabsorbed, we ended the online portion in that way. Like we still have online church, but we don't have like the shows and the whole thing. So then we came in and we kind of merged departments and I became social media director. And we worked that way. And it was still a kind of a blend of like, what am I putting from our weekend onto online? And I'm only saying that to say, it used to take so much time. So when we would go and we would make a production, right? Imagine you have to think about what sermon series are we going to do? We have to plan this out for the year. You know, what's trending? What needs do we need to speak to our church about? And when is that need going to come up? When's the best time to talk to them? Where are we in the liturgical calendar? Like so many things. And at that point, then you have to cast. And then we have to, you know, go scout locations and we are figuring out when what audio equipment that we need, right? All of these things. Then you introduce AI and it is a matter of me putting in to, you know, creating an objective for my team of AI workers. And I'm saying, hey, we are going to now, let's say we have this sermon series coming up. We want to break it down. It's going to come out in the next 6 months. We need to understand like so some of these objectives, right? And then it's going to go about and it creates, it's answering these questions. It's telling me what the trends are. It's letting me know, hey, based on your audience at your church and your church's research, they were probably going to have these pain points at these times in the year. also, here are, since you want to film on this topic, here are the locations. Here are, this is the equipment that you'll need. That would have taken us at least 3 months. to do just to get the basic like scaffolding in place, let alone go on and produce the show. And so that's kind of giving you an idea of like how much time that saved us. And I think I went on a rabbit trail, but go back to your original question for me. How are we using it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in production, that is a way that we can go on and adopt it in production. Another huge piece of what churches produce is content, right? I'm coming there. I am preaching to you. We have at our organization 5 teaching pastors, and their job is just to teach sermons. So it's different than our, what we would call community pastors who are there caring for the people in their locations. Right. What people might just consider a regular pastor. We have that separate, people who teach and people who care.
Yeah.
So our teaching pastors are constantly having to come up with sermons, constantly having to come up with a year's worth. They get assigned maybe a sermon. Maybe there's something they're more passionate about, but it's constant content creation. And you can get writer's block or you can not know where to start. And one of the original problems that they want us to solve is what we would call the blank page problem. I'm staring at a blank screen and I just don't know where to start. And that was probably the lowest hanging fruit. This is how AI can help you, right? So, with that, we were able to take prior sermons, notes, speaking engagements, and they could utilize like a chatbot to say, okay, I've got this coming up. Can you just help me outline or workshop ideas with me? Right. And then it's helping people. Our pastors are great. They're inspired. They're researching their Bible. But, you know, if you have like an onslaught, like, I have all these ideas. I'm going to throw it all on this paper. And it could be like 5 pages. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had it to a production team. We were like, can you organize this? Your sermon is going to be 3 hours long. Yeah. And so just getting like something like this big down to something that's going to be like readable and something I can hand to a production team is a huge help. Uh-huh. And helping our pastors, one, kind of curate their content and be able to get that content out to the clients that needed it in a certain form, which is I need an outline. I now need your talking points. And then those talking points have to be given to the team for it to be up on screen. Mm-hmm. Please get the talking points.
So are you saying the idea of you may receive, number one, helping with the blank page idea. And number two would be, once you have a written, like, here's what I'm going to say, you would take that and filter out the things that all the various teams need from that written sermon. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. awesome. Related to the blank page problem, did you give pastors prompt, like a booklet of prompts to use, or did you build that within the Verve platform?
So within the Verve platform, Verve the company actually pretty much handholds us. So we have representatives that come and they help the pastors understand how to use the tool. Now, like in my role, I'm kind of like that Verve rep. But then we have actual people from Verve so what I would do is, here is the tool. Here is how it works. It's essentially, if people have used ChatGPT, and I don't know what context people are on the show, but let's say like I'm opening it up and ChatGPT says, how can I help you? Verve is built off of those same platforms, right? What do you want to do today? So our very first introduction would be like showing people how to use it. But prompting can be really hard. You can ask a question and then not get the result you want. And so people need that training to understand, okay, you might need to reword your question. People need to understand, how do I describe an objective? There's a lot of human operating that we do very autonomously, like very automatically. And we take for granted that this is just a machine that really feels human. But it's not.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to prompt. So Verve, we had like Verve representatives and people who help train us and work with us. And it kind of helps the pastors understand like prompting and how to get those results that they need.
Yeah. And for those of you who maybe are listening for the first time, prompting is nothing more than directions or the conversation you begin with an AI platform. So it's just like I would say it's like the set of instructions. It's what you tell it, the task you're giving it when you're having your conversation. So just for those who may be listening for the first time and saying, I have no idea what that means. It's nothing more than that. As a church, do you have any spot where you keep a common library of prompts that pastors may find useful?
No, we don't.
I don't know that. I don't know. I don't even know if I would suggest doing that. It's one of those things where it's just at it, you know, as all of us, as all churches across the country are learning or thinking about how to do it. That was just one idea I've heard, thrown around, the idea of if a church had a prompt library where you could copy and paste a prompt into an LLM.
Yeah, but I think that's excellent idea. Now, I know that our head pastor who was using it, we did give him a sheet of prompts. Like, here is something that you can use. And if this doesn't work, try it this way. I know that he was given a sheet of prompts, but no, there is no library. And I think that is like an excellent idea to give people that. And I would also say, you don't have to come up with it on your own. What I love that AI is doing now is telling you how to use it. So for people who are just starting out and they want to just have like an enterprise ChatGPT account, you can say, hey, I don't know how to prompt. Can you give me some basic prompts for helping me build this sermon that I can use? Like, and it'll just generate that list for you. And you don't have to like practice with the prompts. Before, it wasn't like that. But now we're way over here in ChatGPT 5. And now you could just ask for the prompts, which blows my mind.
Yeah, I agree. That's awesome. Yeah. I want to circle back or dial into this the idea of the personas and the idea of coming up with the personas through Verve that can help you think through the marketing and the materials you may need to reach out to specific people. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Sure.
Of how you guys are using that?
Great. So our church, the way that we determine how we would like to advertise or reach out to the people who attend, we have researched our people. So that is separate from Verve. So I'll put Verve aside. We have a data and insights team that tries to help us understand who our audience is, who's attending our church on the weekend, who is attending our church online, and also who do we want to reach. Crossroads would consider itself a seeker church. So our mission is to connect seekers to a growing body of Christ followers who are changing the world. That is what Crossroads would define its mission as. So we used to operate maybe on hunches. And then we created the data and the insights team to help us truly understand how do we reach what we call a seeker and how do we reach the people who come here and make their spiritual life sustainable, right? So we want to be able to talk to the people who are already here and keep them growing. But a huge component of our mission is to bring in new people. So that started with data and insights. That's researching what is a seeker. Mm-hmm. And this is leading up to personas. But first we had to define what is a seeker. And they defined that as someone who was interested in learning more about the God of the Bible. That is a key thing. So not just like God. When they did that research study, it was the God of the Bible. And I believe Emily re-polled about 1,800 people. And they gathered the insights on people who were, in general, the ages of 25 to 45. And if they had kids or if they did not have kids. Because apparently, that skewed the answers. And a lot of people have a lot more things in common between 25 and 45. But whether or not you have a kid completely changed these answers. So the answers for seekers with children and without children, that's really where people kind of gather around. Out of that, there were about 7 types of people that we decided we could categorize this into. Mm-hmm. And we want to focus on that middle type, like our average person who attends Crossroads. And that is someone who is married with 2 kids who makes a certain income. And that's kind of like our middle. Like if we hit that target, in general, we'll be talking to most of the people who are in that Crossroads ecosystem. That's kind of the idea of what the personas are. Personas is just short for a personality for people who don't understand that in a marketing sense. So we want to understand the personality and the makeup of the average person who attends Crossroads. That person is personified in the name Heather as a female and in the name Michael as a male. And those are the 2 primary people that we would try to reach. And then so that research is done and deployed, and we train our staff on who these people are. We train our marketing studio on who these people are. And that's something that is done in-house with our marketing studio. AI comes into the picture, and we utilize Verve for that description, but you can utilize any AI tool. We choose Verve, and we chose them primarily because at that point, we wanted to make sure that all of our private information wasn't leaked or wasn't just out there in the ecosystem. And so Verve was an enclosed system and we owned our data. And that was really important to us. We didn't want all the private thoughts and information of the people who attend our church or people we're trying to learn about. We didn't want it out there. We also didn't want all of our pastors journals and all this private information. We didn't necessarily want to, we were like, okay, if we stick it in ChatGPT, it's going to be out there. Can someone just search it? At that point, there was no answer for that yet. So Verve was a great answer for us. So what we had to do was connect the information that we already had. We connected that into our Verve tool, and it helped us to analyze, summarize, and gather insights from that information. And then we can work with it, if that makes sense. So Verve didn't help create that information at that point in time. It was information that we had, our research, combined with our AI tool.
Yeah. And just to summarize even what you said, but also how I, you know, how I understood it, is they did a bunch of, you guys did a bunch of research. And then from that, you kind of identified an idea of a person that has a cloud of characteristics that make them up. Mm-hmm. And then from that, once you got that cloud of characteristics, you basically created a personified idea of an actual person with a story and a name.
Yes.
Had those characteristics. And that person's, one of them is named Heather. Mm-hmm. And then once you have that, you could use Heather to bounce ideas off of, and you created a bunch of tools of saying, okay, on all the stuff we're thinking about putting out to the world, what would happen if we engaged Heather, this persona, and said, how would this hit you? What would you, why would you care about this? What you're getting Heather's, I almost said Karen, not Karen. That'd be a different persona. But you should create a Karen.
You're not going to talk to Karen, okay? Because Karen can be a problem.
Yeah.
I need a Karen persona.
You should create a Karen persona. I on a side note, I'm going to create myself one out of curiosity on ChatGPT to play around with, of just that idea. But anyways, a person could do this themselves. If you opened up, say, a chat prompt and you put in it a bunch of characteristics, you could say, I am creating a persona. I'm going to give you a group of characteristics. And you could then ask it to say, help me write a complete story. But what you want to get to is say, I want to ask you a series of questions and I want you to respond as if you are this persona.
Yes. You don't have to be an expensive organization, you know, with like this huge, crazy expensive tool to do this. If you're just a layman and it's just you and you want to try it out for yourself, Perplexity is amazing. It's the best for research, right? So you can combine tools, but Perplexity is an awesome research tool. So you could go out on Perplexity and you could explain to Perplexity what you're trying to do. You could simply say, I want to be able to draft sermons, write a book, create a podcast, and I want to be able to talk to kids who are 25 or people in their 30s or people in their 40s with or without kids. Can you go out there and research what their pain points are? Can you tell me what they're searching right now? And you can get a whole report on that. And you can do that with a click of a button. You can be done in a day or less, really, you know, a day or less. 10 minutes, yeah. 15 minutes. Now you need to take some time and analyze that and sit with it. But you can go out there and do that yourself, for sure.
Yeah, I love it. Well, we could talk for a very long time, but let's finish up for today.
Sure.
And is there any other, you know, closing wisdom or thoughts if somebody is listening to this and they're saying, I'm interested, but I'm thinking about getting started. Any just last minute wisdom? And I especially think one insight that your church has wrestled with that is helpful is thinking about implementing AI at scale within a church. Mm-hmm. So if there's any wisdom you have to somebody who maybe is in your role and they're thinking about scaling AI within their church, what wisdom might you give that person?
Sure. I would say start small and don't feel so overwhelmed that you do nothing with it. You know, AI is coming and people say, oh, I'm going to lose my job. The people who will lose their jobs are just the ones who can't keep up. So AI cannot possibly replace you. As a human, you just synthesize information so much better. You're smart. You're creative. One thing I know about AI is it's not creative. It's just not. It can kind of like try to mimic some creativity, but the natural creativity you have as a human is not there. So I think the best thing for people to think of is, what is that tedious stuff I just really hate to do? And what can I hand off and automate? And just start small. Don't get overwhelmed. There's too many things to do. Start with ChatGPT. And maybe if you're a creative, just start in Canva. Because all of whatever tool you use, you're probably using tools right now. every tool that you have, the one that you rely on the most, I guarantee you, has an AI component to it. Mm-hmm. So just take a day and do some tutorials on the tool that you're already using the most and learn how to use the AI tutorials on it. And I promise you, you're not going to lose your job. So start there. And I would say that a question that I think Christians are not asking themselves enough is, how will AI change me? The way that you interact with AI, I think, is very important, because I don't believe the Christian worldview on AI interaction is really out there yet because of some of these fears that we can lean into as Christians, which is like, is this evil? Is it this and that? I think because of that, there's not a lot of Christians interacting with AI. And I do want people to begin to think of, how will Christians interact with AI differently than the world does?
Mm-hmm.
And this was a problem that was created with social media, because we just didn't think this through before we put it in the hands of everybody. And so I want Christians to take a minute and pause and think about, how am I going to interact with it in a way that is going to be healthy for me? Because it also can become the way social media became, which is, I'm going to ask ChatGPT before I ask God. Or like, I'm going to interact with this thing so much that I am no longer interacting with other humans, right? So how the way that you interact with AI does impact you spiritually. And I do want people to understand, like, me as a Christian, how would I like to take a Sabbath day, and I'm not going to be on my ChatGPT today? Or how am I going to make sure that before I run my Bible study through what does ChatGPT think this means, I do want to sit and have a pause and just wait and see if God talks to me first through these scriptures. And then obviously, if I don't understand, then use it. But there is a way that I think it changes you. And a lot of that is consumption. So social media really like grabbed our attention and just consumed our time. And I think that could happen also with AI if we're not careful. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love that. Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks so much, Petra. And yeah, we could have a whole nother discussion on the appropriate spiritual use of how to put AI in its place, which sounds like you've already done so much work or thought related to social media, but AI's has the same downfalls.
Yes, that could be a whole other thing. And I think it's really important because people aren't talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for being on AI for Churches, the podcast today. And if you're listening for the first time, we'd love for you to like and share and comment on this podcast. Make sure you're subscribed. And Petra, thanks so much for your time today. And look forward to chatting with you again soon, and excited about what you guys are doing as a church. And if you happen to live around the Crossroads area or are looking for church to watch online, definitely check out Crossroads. Thanks so much, Petra.
Thanks, David.